I'm talking with Ron Shuchuk, the cookbook author, the barbecuing and grilling guru from his Fortress of Smokitude in North Vancouver. Ron, how you doing?
I'm very well, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great because I got a brand new barbecue.
And grilling season has finally started.
Oh, finally started. You know, I like grilling any time of year, but when it's rainy and cold out, you somehow just don't feel like it. You want to go inside and do a pot roast or something like that.
Yeah, it's demotivating. So now is the time where we can really dive in.
Yeah, and part of the diving in is having some different accessories for your barbecue. And I'm pretty much starting new now. All the old stuff doesn't fit the new stuff. So I'm thinking of getting new things. And I know one of the things that you like to use is a pizza stone or baking stone for the barbecue.
Yeah, and there's different kinds. And it's a great way to be able to emulate what goes on inside a wood-fired pizza oven in your grill. I mean, you can put a pizza stone in your oven, and that works quite well to make a crispy crust, but you can add that new dimension of flavor, and it's obviously very convenient, too, to do it in your grill. And it's basically you get a pizza stone, and there are even ones that are designed for – there's one that's actually designed for the Weber kettle that is perfectly circular, sits on the cooking grate, and even has an opening so you can add new coals or chips or whatever. And I noticed that actually Weber has one that's pizza tray that has handles on it that like a serving tray where you can remove your it right from the grill. So there's lots of products out there, and they all work the same. Is you preheat the grill with the pizza stone in it, and up to a point where you can get the enough temperature to get that crispy crust on your pizza. And the beauty of it is if you do it on a propane grill, you can also throw in like a chunk or two of hardwood and let it burn while the pizza is cooking. Like you put it off to the side underneath the cooking grate. And if you let that burn while the pizza is cooking, you're going to get it infused with some of that smoke and get that extra layer of flavor. It's fantastic.
Sounds good. Now, the pizzas cook very quickly on there because you're talking 500 or 600 degrees probably. What about something that you're going to do at a lower heat and it's going to take you a little bit longer? So I'm talking about a rotisserie, because I have to get a new one because my old rotisserie doesn't fit the new barbecue.
Well, I have to say, Don, that I have fallen in love with my rotisserie in the last year or two. I got a new Weber Summit grill and it came with a rotisserie, and I have to admit, it's kind of embarrassing, but for years I didn't do rotisserie grilling because I lost all the parts. You know, you go through, you try to find the motor and all the little tongy things that you use to pierce the whatever you're cooking, and I always lost them very quickly. But now I'm in my old age, I seem to be able to keep track of these things, and I'll tell you, rotisserie cooking is so fantastic. I mean, what you're able to accomplish in terms of preserving the juices and getting a perfect crust, and also getting some smoke into the bird or whatever you're cooking, it's just magnificent.
And do you generally put any kind of preparation? How do you say you're doing a chicken? How do you prepare the chicken before you get it on the rotisserie?
Well, you know, I just prepare it the same way I might prepare it for grilling, with a dry rub or a wet rub. You know, if you have time to brine your poultry, I recommend it. Most of the time, I don't have the patience to do it. But if you can brine your poultry overnight, it makes for a much more succulent bird. But, you know, whether it's a roast chicken or even a prime rib of beef or something, just to put a nice simple rub or kind of a wet or dry rub on it is all you need. The key with rotisserie cooking is to keep the heat relatively low. A lot of the grill that I have has one of those infrared rotisserie burners above the grill, and that's handy. But even if you don't have that, you can rotisserie very nicely. But the key is to not put much direct heat underneath whatever you're cooking. What I do is I put on the rotisserie burner on the top, and then I'll put the two side burners on high that are not right underneath the chicken, and that creates the heat inside the chamber without potentially burning the roast.
And that's another place where, you know, like you said before about putting the hardwood on there, if you want some smoke while you're doing the rotisserie, you can put on some. So now, in this case, would you put on some smoked wood in one of those? Soaked wood. Wood you've soaked wood chips you soaked in water that you've put into some sort of fancy holder. Do you need a fancy wood chip holder if you're going to do this kind of smoking?
Well, you know, a lot of grills now have a holder for wood chips or chunks, and mine has one, but you don't need it. Certainly, like what I do very often is I'll literally take a chunk of hickory or mesquite or whatever hardwood I've got going. I'll lift up the cooking grate and put the chunk underneath the cooking grate just above where the burners are and let that piece of wood heat up and start burning or smoldering. And then you put whatever you're cooking fairly close to that. And it sort of fills up the cooking chamber anyway. If you're using wood chips or wood pellets in a container, even if you don't have a container, you can take you always put them below the cooking grate and just above where the burners are. You can make a cigar out of tin foil and put your chips or pellets in there, wrap it up tightly and poke it with a few holes with a fork, and it works just as well. And, you know, in my experience, that you don't really need to soak these things. I use dry pellets, and I find that they work very well. I find that a lot of people who start using hardwood to add flavor, they'll soak their wood too much, and it puts actually too much smoke into the chamber, and you're just tasting the smoke and nothing else.
Right. You don't want to overpower it with the smoke. Yeah.
And you know what's another cool tip, Don, if you're cooking with rotisserie? With chicken, especially if you're with the heat, you might get flare-ups, and you don't want that. But if you're going to get any dripping off of your chicken, you can make good use of it by putting a roasting pan underneath where the chicken is turning in the rotisserie and putting your roasted potatoes or whatever you want to cook, or maybe some vegetables in there. They'll catch the juices, and they'll also shield the whatever you're grilling or you're rotisserieing from the direct flame.
Yeah. Now the other way that I've been cooking chickens for years, and I really like it, is it's the basic recipe. It's the beer can chicken, but you can go beyond just buying a can of beer to hold the chicken now, right?
Right. And for listeners who aren't familiar with that technique, it's really simple. It basically comes from the deep south of the U.S. where you drink half of a beer and then you impale the chicken on the remaining beer in the beer can, stand it up on the grill and let it cook like that. And supposedly the beer inside the can steams and the whole process makes for a much juicier bird. And I've done it, and it seems to work. I think beer can chicken is delicious. The thing about putting the chicken on a can of beer like that is it's not very stable. And so there's all kinds of accessories available that will give you that stability while allowing you to do the same technique. And they work pretty well.
Yes, I've got one that's ceramic. I think it's a Weber, actually, that is very easy to use because it's got a really wide base on it. And it narrows as it goes up to the top, so it just fits right inside the cavity of the chicken and provides a really nice base for it to kind of spread out a bit, and it won't fall over.
And it's probably got a little trough to catch the juices too, right?
That one doesn't, so I tend to just put it in a tray to catch the juices from there. I actually fill the water up. Like, I fill the tray up with you know, like half an inch of water or so, something like that, just to kind of keep the, you know, if you've got some fat coming off of the chicken.
You want to save that.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, and you know, the beer can chicken, or that technique of standing the chicken up on a little rack, it's sort of like call it a poor man's rotisserie. If you don't have a rotisserie and you want to get a similar result, that's a great way to cook.
Now, there are other racks that I've seen out there. I've got one sitting in front of me that I haven't used yet. It's a rib rack, and I've seen chicken wing racks, and I've seen chicken leg racks where you
They have those goofy drumstick racks, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think a lot of those racks are kind of gimmicky, and they're designed to sit in stores waiting for people to look for interesting, unusual stuff to buy for Father's Day. And then, you know, and that Dad gets it, thanks everybody for it, tries it once and realizes it's not very useful. And but I do find that some of those accessories can be really handy. Rib racks in particular, ribs take up a lot of real estate on a grill, and to be able to put four or five racks of ribs in the same cooker is a huge benefit. And some of these cages that you can put, you know, vegetables or other things in that make it easy for you to cook things without losing them through the grill, and also very easy to flip everything at once. Those can be very handy too.
Yeah, I'm always worried about putting fish on the grill because I know that it could stick, or I go, you know, if I turn it over, something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, it avoids that. You avoid that with some of these tools. I have one, a cage that just perfectly fits a whole salmon, and then you can just put it on the grill and turn it very easily without worrying about stickage.
and the other thing, if you don't want the fish to even touch the grill, you can use a good old plank, right?
Absolutely. And interestingly, here's an obscure gadget. My wife gave me just the other day a plank holder. It's a metal tray that holds the plank. It's exactly the same size as the plank, and it's meant to preserve the plank. I think that's kind of gimmicky. I haven't used it yet, but, come on. You know, a plank holder kind of defeats the whole rustic kind of charm of planking.
That's kind of the Father's Day gift, right? You didn't get that for Father's Day, did you?
Yeah, no, I don't. But you know, talking about other accessories, those are some good ones. To get good rib racks and a stone and something to put your beer can chicken on, rotisserie. Another key one, and I'm sure you'll agree, is to have an instant read thermometer, a good quality instant read thermometer, because that's the grill chef's best friend, to be able to easily and quickly test what that internal temperature of your meat is going to be.
Yeah, I find that's especially important for, not so much for steaks, but definitely for chicken and things like that you want cooked all the way through.
Yeah, and I don't know how many bad moments I've had with my family when I take the chicken off and, you know, it's still a little bit pink in the middle, and it just puts people off very easily. So a good thermometer gives you a chance to measure accurately and make sure that the thing's cooked properly.
Now, Ron, I have to say that I saw a picture on your Facebook the other day of what looks like a new product from you. Was this pulled pork that you can buy already packaged?
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that, Don. I'm really proud to report that I've been working with my partner, Denzel Sandberg. He and I have been making award-winning barbecue sauces for quite a few years. And about a year ago, we actually introduced a new product that is a pre-cooked pulled pork. We call it perfect pulled pork, and it's cooked with hickory smoke and our sauces and rubs and packaged up in a boil-in-the-bag format where you just basically, it comes in the freezer case, you throw it in water, bring it to a simmer and let it simmer, and then you cut the bag open and you have perfect pulled pork sandwiches. And we just launched our second flavor. Well, we've got our original Kansas City style, and we've got one that's new, the Southwestern Red. So that's pretty exciting.
Wow. So where can I buy this? Where can I purchase this?
You can get them at gourmet food stores like Well Seasoned in Langley, like Gourmet Warehouse and other, you know, places where you have gourmet foods or natural foods. And just the most recent addition is Meinhardt. Meinhardt is carrying both flavors, and I'm very proud that the product seems to be catching on. It's kind of the ultimate gourmet convenience food.
Yeah, now you got to get it over on Vancouver Island, though.
Actually, it is in a few places there, too.
Where?
It's in the that market. So-and-so's market.
Market on Yates?
Yes, it's in the market on Yates.
Okay. Yeah.
Watch for it there. And if you go to the Natural Champions, if you just Google Natural Champions Barbecue, there's a page that will show you everywhere you can buy it.
Okay, now you're making me hungry.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's time to eat barbecue, that's for sure. I encourage everybody to get out there, and whether you have accessories or not, put some stuff on the grill and get cooking.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Don. Have a great summer.